Amen. I want to talk about tonight the spiritual. Today, the spiritual mind. Having the spiritual mind. You know, how many of you just had different minds? I mean, you know, you're the same person, but like your mind, you're either out of your mind or you've just got this mind that's not right. And that's the thing about our mind. Our mind is changeable. It's not like, you know, sometimes you have to make your mind up. I don't know what that means. That kind of means that you make it up as you go along. I don't know what that is. But God has a mind for us that He wants us to have about things. And He wants us to walk in the mind of Christ. And in Philippians, Paul pleaded with the Philippians. He said, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. And so we're going to start with Matthew chapter 1. And we had the Christmas parade yesterday, and we celebrate Christmas. We start Christmas early in Martinsville. Everybody's going like, boy, this is early. This is really early. So I was singing Christmas carols last night out on the deck of the patio of the Daily Grind. What during our Christmas parade, I'm going, wow, it just feels so early. So I'm in the Christmas mood already. How about you? Anybody here already up for Christmas? Yeah, I'm ready. I'm there, huh? So we're in Matthew chapter 18, and I want to just give you a few things I want to say here. I want you to check two things out. Okay, so we're going to check some things out. Can you say that? Say that to somebody. Go. We're going to check some things out. All right, and that's one thing you have to do. When you want to get the spiritual mind, you have to kind of check it out. The spiritual mind is not something that just is accidental. You have to look into it in order to get the mind of God. And here you are in Matthew chapter 1, and it's the story of Joseph. And I want to talk about Joseph here. This is how Joseph, starting with verse 18, this is how Joseph came to find out what was going on. Jesus's mother Mary was engaged or pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, when you're pledged to be married back then, it's more than just an engagement. Back then, when you were pledged to be married, you were married, basically. You just didn't have the completion of the marriage. But you were, in a sense, married. And if that pledge was broken, you would have had to have a divorce. Does that make sense? So you were married, but you just didn't move in together yet. Back then, they married you. And you had to be, it was like big deal. It was way more than just being engaged and having a ring. It was like being married. And so Joseph and Mary were married, but they hadn't consummated the marriage yet. And before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, because Jesus, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to a public disgrace, I feel like my mic is really loud. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. I was wondering, Janine, would you do me a favor and turn my mic down a little bit? Because I feel like it's humming. Okay, just turn it down. That little lower. Just turn the volume down, overall volume down. That would work too. All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Is that better, folks? I feel like I don't want to get on your nerves. Okay. Now, yeah. So Joseph had a mind. His mind was to divorce her quietly. That was what was in his mind. And it wasn't the mind of God, was it? It was in his mind to divorce this woman because she was found to be a child through the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph did something. It says that he had considered something. He had considered it. And what I wanted to say, first thing you have to do is you have to check out what you see happening with God. The first thing you need to do with whatever situation to have the spiritual mind is you have to check it out with God, because Joseph was checking it out. It says that he was considering what was going on, and it was by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if he really knew at that time it was the Holy Spirit, but he had a mind to divorce her. But God wanted to change his mind. And here's how he did it. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived of her is from God. From what is going on with her is from God. This is something that he could not conceive in his mind. Joseph could not get it at first. And so God had to give him a word. Now, in our class, we talked about this thing about a rhema word or a spoken word. Now, I believe that there was a scripture, and as a matter of fact, it says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Joseph woke up and he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He didn't divorce her. Praise God. God says, I hate divorce. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So I want to talk about this. As he began to check out what was happening, God gave him a specific word through an encounter. In this case, the encounter was a dream. And I want to say today that God is still in the dream business. God still speaks through dreams, and he speaks through words from people, okay, prophets. He speaks through prophets, and he gives you specific words. He may just speak to your heart while you're walking down the road or while you're doing the dishes or you're taking a shower. Sometimes God will speak to me right in the shower, and I have to remember this when I get out, you know, because you can't write it down. Sometimes you will get a phone call. Now, I got a phone call this morning at 9:00. Just came out of the blue. I usually don't get phone calls on Sunday morning. But it was a man of God who called me that wanted to give me a word. I didn't ask for it. I didn't expect it. But I thank God I got a word. Because God is in the giving the word business. He really likes to speak to us because he wants to encourage us. And he wants us to know that we're not alone. We are not alone. We don't have to try to figure it out all by ourselves. We have a helper. He's called the Holy Spirit. And he uses people sometimes too. Sometimes he'll give a dream. Do you know what I got a dream the other day of? And this is just out there, but I'm going to say it in faith, okay? I got a dream the other day, and I feel like the Lord spoke to me. And I felt like the Lord says that our nation is going to see an improvement of relations with Russia. And there's going to be a new door that God is opening to that country. Because there was a season when it was open and the doors were closing. And they have been closing for a while. But I felt like the Lord was saying that there was going to be a turning of an attitude of Russia towards us. That's what I felt in the dream. Now, that's for whatever it is, it's a dream. And God has to confirm his word. Okay? Like every word. And this is what happened here. Now, I want you... It happened a week ago. So anyway, it was really funny because I was in the dream. I saw this Russian guy, and I took a little Russian in high school. Okay, so I took some Russian in middle school and high school, and the guy just had such a Russian attitude. I knew this guy was a Russian I've never been to Russia or anything like that, but he was just very Russian, and it was very interesting, that particular dream. So God will speak to you in many different ways. Now, God will give you a spoken word, as you check out what he's doing. But he will also take that spoken word and he will cause you to see that it fulfills his written word. Do you see that what the angel said fulfilled the word of God? It was hooked to a scripture. He said, don't do this. Your mind is not right about your wife, Mary. Your mind is right, not right. Don't divorce her. Here's the scripture that's going to fulfill. So what the angel said fulfilled the word of God. And so as God speaks to us, many times he'll take a scripture and he'll cause it to happen. And we'll see, oh, so that's what that's all about. And the word of God is powerful. Amen? So check out what you see God doing. Check it out. Think about it. Consider it. Don't just blow it off. Can we pray? Let's ask the Lord to cause us to notice what he's doing. Amen. Father God, we ask you in Jesus' name that we don't want to be like Joseph in the sense that we don't want to just do what we have a mind to do. But Lord, we want to consider what it is that you're doing so that you can speak to us. And Lord, we ask you for dreams. We ask you for visions. We ask you for words, direction. Lord, from other people. Lord, let us just be open so that your word can be fulfilled in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 6. I don't know who said this, but I don't know if it was Arthur Bird or whatever, but it says, God will offend your mind to reveal what's in your heart. God will offend your mind to reveal what's in your heart. And the second thing I want you to check, okay, check, first of all, check out what you see happening. Second thing, I want you to check out what your emotions are. Because your emotions can be an indicator of what's in your heart. Yeah. Now, you know, it's interesting. I was doing a study on faith, and I love the book of Matthew. I love all the Gospels. But you realize that Matthew doesn't even use the word faith until chapter 6. And I believe that's for a reason. But I'm not going to get into it because we'll have a long discussion about it like we did this morning. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6. Because in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, is the first time that Matthew records the word faith from the mouth of Jesus. Let's see what he says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear, is not life more important than food? Can I say amen to that? And the body more important than clothes? Yes. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you can worry and can add a single hour to his life? Now look down here in verse 31. So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The first mention of the word faith is in verse 30, where he says, O you of little faith. O you of little faith. The very first time Jesus wanted to met people, he wanted to tell them something very important. You guys, your faith is little. It's little. Now get over it and let's do something about it. Your faith is not what you think it is. Come on now. Your faith, you know what to do. You go to church. You wear the right clothes. You know what I'm saying? You know the scriptures. But your faith is little. How do I know? You're full of anxiety and fear. Your emotions give you away. Your faith is little. Get over it. There's this thing, and I want to give us permission today. I want to give you permission to not have the faith that you need to have so that you press into something more that God has for you. Because if you think you have everything you need, if you think you got it, you think you're there, you're not going anywhere forward. You're stopped. God wants us to get off the, you know what I mean, get off the fence, if you will, and move forward and get more. There's more in God. There's more that God has for us. And you won't think you got, you won't think you need more if you think you got everything you need. And so someone's got to tell you that what you have isn't what you think it is. It's not enough. It's little. How do I know? Your emotions are telling me right now. You're full of anxiety. You're full of fear. You're full of fear. Fear. And worry. What are you worrying about? Oh, you're worrying about what you wear. You're worrying about what you need. You're worrying about this, worrying about that. I mean, you ever heard of that term, worry wart? Like every time you talk to somebody, that's all you hear coming out of their mouth is what they're worried about. They're worried about everything. And, you know, they're worried about crossing the street. They're worried. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And it's because of that concern and that effort. And so I want us to have permission to say that my faith just isn't measuring up right now and I need to increase it. Jesus did not rebuke the disciples for asking for more faith, did he? He said, that's good. Increase our faith. He goes, okay, there we go. I'm going to tell you how to do it. And so it's important to do that because I feel like the church has kind of overreacted. Some people in the church have overreacted that if something doesn't happen the way you hoped it would, that somehow you can't say, well, maybe our faith just fell short. It's like you're not allowed to say that. Come on now. Am I speaking the truth? It's like we're being, oh, wait a minute. Don't say anything about somebody's level of faith. You might offend them. Look, I'm already offending people without opening my mouth. So I'm not going to worry about it because people get offended about me just by looking at me. Am I right? They'll just be offended about you with whatever. I walk into a room sometime and someone just get an attitude towards me. And I'm like, what did I do? I didn't say anything or do anything. They just got an attitude. And, so if they're going to be offended about that, then don't worry if they're going to be offended about you telling the truth. Because maybe you need to know. Maybe you need to believe God. Maybe there's something there that God wants to shake up so that he can get you going in the right direction. And Jesus, after spending all this time here and teaching and whatever, he's letting people know, hey, little faith, guys. Come on, let's get with it. All right, so we got to check it out. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Let's go to Luke now. We'll go to Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to compare. And those of you that were in our Christmas program, Just One Angel, Josh can talk about this because Josh played Zechariah. And we're going to look at Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, verse 20. It's a story of how the angel comes to Zechariah. So first, the angel Gabriel goes to Zechariah, then he goes to Zechariah, then he goes to Mary. And so he shows up to Zechariah while he's burning incense in verse 11, and he was afraid. And the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Verse 13 now. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He'll be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. And then Then he tells all this awesome stuff about John. And then Zechariah in verse 18 says the following words. How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife's well along in years. And the angel said, good question. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say it. That a boy, Zechariah, you done good. No, he said no. He didn't say that at all. Here's what he said. Hey, I stand in the presence of God, and I'm Gabriel, and you are going to shut up now for a season. He was not happy with what Zechariah said. He wasn't. Why wasn't he happy? He says, because you did not believe my word. So I've got to be honest with you, and I'm honest with myself and the Lord too. I've got to say this. Sometimes God is not pleased when we don't have faith. Amen. When we don't have faith, God's not happy, and not having faith in a situation may produce a consequence. Now that consequence is meant to bring us into more faith. And sometimes the best way is to be quiet. Yeah, be quiet. Zechariah, you need to learn something. And the best way to learn something is to be quiet sometimes. Because then you can listen. Now, I just want to present that idea that sometimes the Lord may actually deal with us because of our unbelief. He just may deal with us about it. And there's a negative consequence because a lot of times we just think, oh, it doesn't matter what we believe, right? It doesn't matter how we believe. It doesn't matter whether we have faith or not. It doesn't matter because it's all God's good and God just does whatever he wants to do. Come on, isn't that an attitude out there sometimes? Such a casual attitude, like it doesn't really matter if you believe or not. It doesn't matter what happens because, you know, God's in control and you start getting to that stuff. Hey, guess what? It does matter. I don't want to have my mouth shut by an angel. How about you? That's the old duct tape. That spiritual duct tape. I want to have faith. And I want to have the kind of faith so that when God speaks to me, I'll believe it. And I can dig into this passage a little more because when Gabriel showed up to Mary, she had a completely different attitude. The problem is the translations of your Bibles, they almost say the same thing. It looks like the same thing, but it wasn't the same thing what they said. Because Mary said, how are you going to do this?
She said it in faith.
She just said, okay, how? That's different. You see what I'm saying? That's different than how am I, according to me? Like, how am I going to do this? See, Zechariah was me-focused and he was knowledge-focused. Mary was faith-focused and, okay, however you want to do it, it's fine with me. But do you mind telling me how? I'd like to know. And like I said, I wasn't going to break it down, but if you were just to put those two statements side by side, you'll see something very interesting. Because if you look in Luke chapter 1, I'm going to look here. Luke chapter 1, and let me find it here. Mary says in verse 34, how will this be since I'm a virgin? So how are you going to do this? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then it says, for nothing is impossible with God. And I love that. No rhema is without dunamis. No word of God is without power. And then she goes this, listen, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word. that term, may it be to me according to your word, is the opposite of what Zechariah said. The exact opposite. He said, how is this going to be unto me? And then she said, unto me it's going to be according to your word. He made his knowledge the condition for his faith. She made her faith, the word of God, the condition for her knowledge. That's the difference. He made his knowledge the condition for his faith. Mary made her faith in the word the condition for her knowledge. So that was the core where she was at. And she said, I am your servant. I am your servant. I don't need to get this in my mind right now. I just let it be according to your word, not according to me. It's that word. It's that beauty. And it's an innocence, I think, too. And I'm going to talk about that maybe a little bit later. But I'm going to talk about it now. There was an innocence about Mary. And I think Zechariah, personally, this is just an opinion of mine, but I think Zechariah was being informed by his experience more than the Word of God. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But he was, sometimes we can become hard of heart over a period of time. And Mary was just, she was innocent. She just received it like a child. She was a child. She was a teenager. You know what I'm saying? She was a teenager. She didn't know the hard knocks of life. You know what I'm saying? She was innocent. There's something precious about innocence in the kingdom of God. That's why God many times will reveal himself to children, because they just receive it. And then he has to shut some of us older people up a while until we finally get it. You know? So I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. So I'm going to give you some questions here. Faith, number one, flows from the will of God, the word of God, the power of God, and the mind of God. That's where faith flows from. And faith flows from the will of God, the word of God, the power of God, and the mind of God. The will of God. Matthew chapter 8, the leper goes to Jesus and he says, Lord, will you heal me? Will you? Jesus said, I will be healed. The leper didn't concern himself with Jesus' power. He knew Jesus could do it. But he wasn't sure that Jesus cared enough about him to do it. Some people don't receive from God because they don't think he cares enough for them. They're beat up too much. That's why faith and love have to go together. Because people have to know that God loves them enough to bless them. So many people are under condemnation. And their faith is weak because they don't feel loved. And in that another passage, the very same passage, he says, Jesus, filled with compassion, said, yes, I will. I believe he was crying when he did it, man. I believe he was just torn to pieces. Can you imagine a man with a skin disease looking like the monster? Yeah, like a zombie. He looked like a zombie. Now, a lot of people think zombies are cool. They go, well, that's really cool. Zombies coming to me. No, he looked horrible, his face, you know. And Jesus was just like, I love you. I'm going to do this for you. So we have to have the love of God to have faith. You cannot have faith without love. How can you have a hard heart and have faith? Uh-uh, that just doesn't work. The real people, people that have real faith, have love. They have to. Because God loved the world that he gave his son. God loved the world, so he created the world. There would be no world if it wasn't for the love of God. Nothing of this would be here. You think God just did it because he thought, oh, that's a good idea. I think I'll just create the universe. No, it was a passion in him and a love for him that spoke words of faith. Amen? So that's the first thing. That's in Matthew 8. But then God has words as well as his will. So sometimes we just have to come to grips with the will of God, knowing that he loves us. And then the second thing is we have to come to grips with the word of God. The centurion came to Jesus, or Jesus came to him in Matthew 8 and said, come to my house and heal my child. Actually, he said, come heal this servant of mine. And Jesus said, oh, I will come to your house and do it. And then he said, don't come. You don't have to come. Just say the word. Just say the word. There's that rhema word, right? There's the word that's spoken. Just like the angel spoke to Joseph and gave him a word for his situation. Once Cornelius, or I'm going to call him Cornelius, once the centurion got that word, that's all he needed. That's all he needed. And because of that, he said, we don't have to go through this. I've got the word of God. I've got a word now that I can hold on to. I can hold on to this word. This may sound very strange, but I'm going to say it, and maybe you'll understand what I mean. People didn't come to Jesus to get healed. They came to Jesus to get a word. Because when they got the word, they got healed. Does that make sense? They came to him to get a word. And when they got that word, the healing happened. Sometimes the healing didn't take place for a while, right? The centurion had to go home first. Did he see the healing right away? No, but once he had the word, he had his healing. He came with the word. And when he got home with the word, the child was healed. That very hour.
His word is his authority.
It's his authority. Yeah. Amen. And that Roman guy knew it. Italians, one thing Italians understand, they understand authority. You got leadership. There's no wimpy Italians anywhere. Trust me. You know, they're just not. Okay. Now, so faith comes as the will of God is revealed, the word of God is revealed, now the power of God. Let's turn to Mark chapter 2. I'm going to share this with you. Lord, just let your power flow in this message. Lord, let the faith rise. Can you feel the faith rising in the room now? Do you feel like that there's the atmosphere is changing here to believe God? I hope so. I believe so, that God is going to raise the level of our faith and cause our faith to rise up, and to that we could take another step forward. Are you offended at me that I just said maybe we don't have what we need in faith? Is it okay for the faith to come higher? Is it okay that we can understand the will of God better, that we can know the word of God better, so that we can see the power of God show up in a greater way? Because if you see the power of God, that gives you faith for more power. God shows his power. He doesn't want you to just believe in it without any power. Come on now. He gives us power. So he doesn't just give the word without power. The word comes with power. In the old days, those of you who remember ordering cars, you would decide whether you get the car with or without a power package. I mean, as in power windows, power locks. If you go back farther, power brakes. Power steering. I don't think you could buy a car today without power steering, right? Probably not. But God's cars never come without power packages. Praise God. They just don't come that way. All right. Well, I just showed my age. Josh, have you ever driven a car without power steering?
Yes, I have.
Wow, well, you came from Craig County. That's probably why. Sorry, Josh. I just couldn't help that. That was just too easy. No, I'm just kidding. I love him. He's my son now. My son. Yay. Woo! Danny's got a brother. Woo! Okay. All right, we're in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 is a story about the paralytic. It says, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, so many gathered there. There was no room. They preached a word, and they dug a hole through the roof. Now Jesus saw their faith. Look in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, notice that Jesus gave a word in response to faith. So not only will faith create, you know, the word of the Lord will give you faith, right? If you get a word from God, you will have faith. Also, your faith will also release the word of the Lord. So it's like a generator. It just keeps going. So as you step out in faith, God will give you more word. Do the thing that God tells you to do in faith, and then God will give you another word. When he saw their faith, he said, you're healed. Your sins are forgiven. And then the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, who can talk like this? Blah, blah, blah. All right, now look here. Notice that they were questioning what he said. So I'm going to finish this word with three things. Think three things for you to question. I want you to question your questions.
Oh, good, yeah.
Question your questions. So if you're in a situation and your faith is you're being troubled about something, question what you're questioning.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I want to tell you that sometimes, you ever notice that sometimes people will come to God for something and they'll ask him a question like, and then he'll give them an answer that doesn't look like it's related to the question at all. So like, Lord, I'm really upset or I'm really concerned about this. And then he goes, he gives you the answer for something else. And you're like, wait a minute. That's, you know, I was like, Lord, I ask you about why my car isn't running, and you're talking to me about what I'm wearing. You know, it's like totally unrelated, and you're thinking, why do you want to talk about this? And that's the key, because sometimes you have to come against your questioning and your thoughts process, and that's what Jesus did. And I want you to see here, look what happened. I want you to see the difference. It says, and Jesus perceiving their questions. So the Father God wants to teach you how to go from questioning to perceiving. From the mind just kind of going a million miles an hour to the spirit perceiving what's going on here. God has given us the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, ask him. He'll give it to you. And part of what the Holy Spirit does is you perceive things by the Spirit. Now, that's different from just asking a question. And many times you'll be in a situation and you won't have to ask any questions in that situation, but you'll perceive what's going on. You'll just know what's going on right now. And that's how Jesus functioned. He functioned by perception. Many times when we face challenges of prayer, we don't know how to pray. We just don't. My brain will look at that situation, I'll go, oh Lord, what do I do now? How do I pray for this person? What do I say? Do I just go through the cookbook or not? What do I do? And the first thing I have to do is ask the Lord, Lord, what do I need to perceive out of here? Because it may not be what I'm thinking right away.
It may not even be what they're asking. That's right, Tim. So you just need to perceive by the Spirit and question your questioning. All right, and so that was that situation. Now let's look in Mark 9. And that's why I want to talk about this. And I've got two more scriptures after this, and we'll finish up. Mark chapter 9 is the story of the failure of the disciples to cast out an evil spirit. In verse 14, they came to the other disciples off the mountain. They saw that a large crowd around them was gathered, and the teacher of the law arguing with them. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed in wonder and ran to greet him. And then he goes, "What were you arguing about?" He said, "Well," a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who's possessed by a spirit." Now this child was sick. That robbed him of speech. He couldn't talk, and he was having seizures. And it threw him to the ground. He foamed at the mouth, gnashed his teeth, and became rigid. "I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." And you know, Jesus, the loving, kind Jesus, the sweet Lamb of God, said, "You faithless generation." How dare he talk to them like that? You see what I'm saying? You know, it got their attention. Why? Because the issue was faith. And guess what they were doing instead of believing? They were arguing. Oh, Lord. Lord, I repent from arguing when I should be believing. Lord, help me to question when my faith isn't needs to be. What am I doing that's stopping this? And maybe it's because I'm arguing a lot. Maybe I just need to not argue as much, and maybe I'll have more faith. Maybe. Maybe.
That's why it's lawyers.
Yeah. Yeah, gets the eye out of it. Yes. He goes, "What were you arguing about?" He says, "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Now, here's what I want to ask us the question. Question your experience.
That's good.
Because they failed. And because they failed, they were arguing. So somebody came with a need, and they did what Jesus taught them how to do it. And guess what? They failed. And passing the blame around, arguing, find points of scripture. Well, maybe you didn't say in Jesus' name. Well, if you'd said in the name of Jesus, it would have worked. If you had said Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maybe that would have worked. Or if you had jumped three times and twirled around. You see what I'm saying? If you quoted five scriptures instead of three scriptures, maybe that would have happened. You know what I'm saying? They were arguing. And they were getting into that. And sometimes the Lord wants to show us a greater level of power than our experience.
Yeah.
And we need to challenge our experience so that we can come up higher in our realm of healing. And maybe heal somebody that we've never seen healings for. Now, I have to say, honestly, I have never seen anybody raised from the dead. I've never been a part of that kind of prayer. I've never seen that happen, experienced that happen. Now, I'd like to see that happen.
Amen.
I mean, there are certain healings that I have not seen happen in my personal life, where I prayed for someone or been a part of a prayer team and seen some things like that happen. But I'd like to do that. I'd like to be a part of that. And I feel that sometimes we have to question our experience. Don't settle for the levels of healing that we have so far. Why should we stay here? Why can't we start praying for greater healings? Why not limbs appearing out of nowhere? Why not that kind of stuff? Why can't we start praying for more? Well, it hasn't happened before. That's why we should pray. So we need to question that and not settle for the level of anointing that we have in prayer. Yeah, mostly dead. Spiritually dead. Yeah. I've seen some. So you've...
Start to roll back
hand on her head, and she was burning hot. And I said, I rebuke this fever in Jesus' name. She cooled in my hand, and her eyes came back in her head. She looked at me, and she looked at her son, the pastor, looked at me, and said, I'm sorry. I said, I ruined the service. We said, oh, it didn't ruin the service.
Yeah, God bless you.
The EMTs came and said she shouldn't have been alive.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to share that.
Yeah.
Trish was with me, and we hung together a lot. If I don't like to chase the horses, and I had the fever, the horse was there, and it stomped my dog in the middle of it, his body. And I mean, to where he threw up.
Stomped it.
But you prayed.
I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was just like I didn't want to move God. This can't happen. It was almost like I was paralyzed.
Expecting God.
Yeah.
I needed something because it's been a while since that happened.
Yeah.
And Trish had that inside, but she kind of was doing it, but she wasn't doing it, you know, thanks. So the dog walked off and got in trouble, Teddy, rode up the road, come back. But this is how your faith feels sometimes, even though I saw it. I'm not trying to tell people about this. All we probably was just done and da-da-da-da.
Okay.
And so the next morning, I see her laying at the doghouse, and there's little flies flying around. I thought, oh, no.
She thought the dog was dead.
She must have been in shock. And, you know.
But the dog was not dead.
And the dog was not dead. And, I mean, this dog was wimpy when you brush your eye. Brush your eye. She never had a sore spot on her. Nothing.
Okay. So you couldn't reason. Okay. So here's the thing, that you can pray for dogs. That's okay. It's okay to pray for animals. That's a good practice. Let's finish up here in Matthew 15. Sure. Sure.
Amen. I received that. Amen. I received that. Amen. Amen.
And I was thinking it might be sooner than you.
Maybe sooner than later. I received that. Amen.
Yeah, because we're going to pray. I want to finish this last scripture, and then we're going to pray for the journey. Amen.
Hold those prophecies.
Yeah, hold that. Yeah, yeah.
If you're there and the Lord unctions you, do it. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So the last thing I wanted to share with you is Matthew 15 about the woman, the Canaanite woman, who was crying because her daughter was suffering from demon possession. And please send her away. I mean, here's somebody with a need that the disciples did not want her around. They didn't want her around because she wasn't a Jew. She wasn't of Israel. So they're like, what are you doing here? So here's somebody who was in the wrong place, as far as they were concerned, at the wrong time. And yet she kept on. And when Jesus wouldn't even talk to her, and she wouldn't quit. And then she finally comes up and he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And then she came. She didn't. It's like she didn't hear what Jesus said. Okay. Come up And she says, Lord, help me. It is, he replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Right? Yeah, and then Jesus said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She said that. So here's what I want to say. We have to question sometimes. Question the answers that we think we're getting from God. Question even those sometimes. If you're not seeing, here's the thing, if you're not seeing the power of God move in healing, which is what God's will is, right? Sometimes we got to question even what we think we're hearing from God. And which was really cool, what she did was is she literally reasoned herself into faith. She used her spiritual mind to say, look, I may not be getting the loaf of bread, but I can get the crumb, and the crumb's enough to do the job. God wanted her to get something. You know, she got something from the Lord that it, at first didn't look like he was trying to teach her, but she got a truth from God because she just questioned, look, don't throw the bread. Okay, a crumb is enough to heal my daughter. Do it. She just kept in, kept going. She didn't quit. And she questioned what she thought she was hearing from him. And she questioned what other people were saying. So she kept pressing into the healing that God had for her. And it changed her, and it changed her mind. And I believe that God wants us to press into greater levels of faith.
Amen.
And in order to do that.
Those who feel they're disqualified.
Yes.
You need to press in more.
Yes. Yes. I don't get it. I haven't been, like, for example, I haven't been to church in 20 years. I don't need, why should I get anything good from God? Come on now.
John, I didn't remember what I said. And I said, no.
You just commanded it.
Yeah. Because my husband said, yeah, get up, go.
And you just
said,
didn't receive it. Yeah.
I was ready to put it on the board, take it to the doctor or something.
Yeah.
But the Lord saw it different. When that happened, the dog got up, walked off, and nothing was ever wrong. Right. Even though I was still like, what happened?
So you just spoke a word of command. How about that?
I couldn't accept it. No.
Okay. All right. So can we stand up right now? And let's just stand up in a new realm of faith for the Lord.